The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Got an idea for a topic? Email us at newsmakers@krla870.com. That's newsmakers@krla870.com. Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
Well, it's time for us to get updated on the very latest on COVID-19 coronavirus. Dr. Brandon Grove is with Monarch Healthcare. His practice is in Anaheim Hills, and he joins us once again. Doctor, thank you for taking some time to be with us.
Good morning, Larry.
So what are the latest developments? If you were, we've talked almost weekly now for a month. What is the latest takeaway? What are we learning now that we didn't know last week or the week before?
It seems like we're learning stuff every hour. But where we stand right now, obviously, we're still seeing an increase in cases. What I'm seeing as far as the rates of increase and looking at California's data compared to other states in the country, it looks like we're actually getting at least a little bit of traction with the social and physical distancing. Our case numbers are not rising as fast as other cases. And in fact, our numbers per capita are comparable to areas of the country that are significantly less sparsely populated, or significantly more sparsely populated. And so that's actually looking good. The difficulty, though, is I think as we get a little bit tired with this distancing, I'm at least starting to see more people out and about, which runs the risk of allowing things to kind of take off.
Yeah. A couple areas that have been recent developments. You and I talked about masks from day one. You know, how come the health professionals wear them and we don't? That kind of evolving, it seems like, to the point where this week, L.A. Mayor Garcetti is recommending people, if it's a bandana or even, you know, not the N95, probably better that people wear them. This is a story that seems to be evolving.
When we look at a pandemic like this, all the decisions that are made are looking at a few things. Number one, supplies. And so we need to have those N95 masks to protect workers. We need to have the surgical masks to limit spread of infection. Initially, the statements going out from public health officials, we're really looking at trying to reserve those for our first responders. Looking at transmission rates and transmissibility, it does seem that having some sort of facial covering is going to help, since we're looking at respiratory droplets that can be caught by a bandana or some other facial covering, even if it's a homemade do-it-yourself one. That said, we would still kind of push that public message, limit the amount you're going out, limit the contact, because even though that is going to protect us in a big picture, it's not going to protect the individual as much as they may think it will.
Yeah. Now, there were reports a couple of weeks ago of people out on beaches and on bike trails and out on hiking trails. Many of those have been shut down because people weren't keeping the 6 feet apart.
I understand the cabin fever. I certainly get that it gets a little difficult to stay cooped up. Unfortunately, the more we see people out, the more likely we are to be drawn out of doors and doing things. But realistically, we need to stay the course and really, really focus on staying in, minimizing all that contact, because that's really the only way we're going to buy some time for our public health machine and the epidemiologists to be able to do enough testing to be able to isolate those cases they find, track their contacts, and quarantine those individuals. With numbers well over 200,000 at this point, that task is just monumental.
We've also seen more work studies starting to come in on some of these off-label uses that have been approved by the FDA, certain drugs that seem to be offering or shortening the time. Some of the first studies are just coming in on that. If there's any story that comes out of this, is that they're willing to try a lot of different things if they're not going to hurt people.
True. In medicine, we use medications off-label on a fairly regular basis. This is the first time in my career that I'm seeing it on a global scale. But the World Health Organization has started their solidarity trial looking at some of these options. Obviously, it's not our preferred medical double-blinded randomized controlled trial, but as a way to gather data in more than just an anecdotal, hey, this worked or hey, that worked setting, but really asking medical providers all over the world to consider joining in this trial, not randomized, but getting people on medication and putting their data into a central database so that we can use computing power to really kind of look to see, is there something that may separate itself from the pack earlier than others and ultimately save lives?
It is interesting that a lot of the work and things that are being done are based on models. You kind of mentioned it there. Just as there's a weather forecast, they're kind of trying to do a COVID-19 forecast based on some of the numbers and the charts. Interesting how mathematics and modeling plays into health.
Well, and that's what a lot of these public health officials and the statisticians with the Center for Disease Control and the World Health Organization do. They each of these models, though, is based on certain certain attributes that are pressed in, so placed into it. So they'll estimate, you know, compliance with social and physical distancing. For example, the latest one I saw from the CDC, they're estimating that by next week, all the states will have stay-at-home orders. Right now, we still have quite a few states that don't. And so if those states impose those stay-at-home orders sooner, that will affect the modeling outcome. If they wait to place those stay-at-home orders, obviously we'll see a later peak in the curve and we'll actually have more people infected and more people dying.
Dr. Brandon Grove is with us. He is a physician with Monarch Healthcare based out of Anaheim Hills. Let's talk about the do's and don'ts. You kind of mentioned the cabin fever. Okay to take walks, but not around other people, right?
Absolutely. Getting outdoors and getting some exercise is going to help with that. But again, doing your best to maintain that distance. Right now, I'm personally working from home half time. When I have gone into the office, I see people congregated. And the number one thing we can say as a medical professional is don't do that. Stay away from people. Keep distance. If you're chatting across the street, perfectly fine. If you're getting into kind of a normal conversational distance, you've gotten in too close. You need to spread that out a little bit.
Yeah. Other things that we can do. What about our mental health here? I mean, you mentioned the cabin fever. You need to be active. You need to do things. You can't just sit around. And there's also, you know, when we're exposed to the news over and over again, that's a challenge too, isn't it?
Well, I think we need to take a break from the news. I think we need to give ourselves permission to separate from coronavirus. You know, obviously in your line of work, in my line of work, we're following it very, very closely. But if it's not part of your job description, feel free to take some time away from that. Turn on some music, sing along, dance around your house. No one's watching, as long as you're not in a Zoom meeting or something like that. And take time to contact friends, family. Spend your time wisely. Look in on those your neighbors who may not be able to get out to the store, particularly the elderly. I think this is a great chance for us to get to know our neighbors better and to really build a better sense of community.
Yeah. Dr. Grove is with us. More things that you want people to know. If you could say the top things, if we do these things, this is going to be your best way forward.
Well, the first thing I would say is stay home. And I can't emphasize that enough. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that's very much about immediate gratification, and there is no immediate gratification with coronavirus. We're really looking at a long haul, a month to several months down the road to get this under control. So we need to kind of fight that urge to go out and do whatever we want to do. Stay home. You're going to protect yourself. You're going to protect your friends, family, neighbors, all of that. And then number two is when you're out, watch the surfaces you're touching. Make sure that you're carrying some hand gel with you. Wash thoroughly for 20-plus seconds as often as you can with soap and water. All of those things are going to be beneficial. And it's a little bit here and a little bit there that's ultimately going to win the war with coronavirus.
Now, explain the do's and don'ts with masks, because I was reading that you could have the very best mask in the world if you could get a hold of the N95s, and they're only supposed to be worn for a limited amount of time, and they're working on protocols to clean those. What do you tell people if they're going to do the bandana thing, or they're going to get those kind of masks that the salons use? What do you tell people as far as how long to wear them and how to clean them? Do we know?
Well, with the N95 mask, to be worn properly, those need to be fit tested. And there's actually a protocol for fit testing where if you're a healthcare professional and wearing that, you should be pulling air through the mask and not around the edges. And so there's a protocol to test to make sure that you can't smell stuff that is waved in front of you or sprayed in front of you to make sure that you're actually truly pulling air through the mask so it gets filtered. That is really only to protect healthcare professionals from infected people. But the other masks, again, it's not so much about pulling air through the mask, but keeping so that your respiratory particles that are produced when you cough, sneeze, or even when you talk aren't going out and potentially infecting other people. So that's why a bandana will work reasonably well as well. The reality is, as long as you can breathe around it, there's nothing limiting how long you might wear that mask. If you do have respiratory issues, you probably want to touch base with your healthcare provider first. But as long as you don't have a super tight fit and you can actually pull air in and not have some sort of obstruction to that airflow, you could wear something like that indefinitely. As far as cleaning it, I have not seen guidelines at this point. But bottom line, if you've been, you know, getting respiratory particles on something for, you know, 6-8 hours, probably not a bad idea to swap out if you can. If you can't, or you're not in a place where you could wash or launder that mask, reasonably, you could wait till the end of the day, wash it, reset the next day.
Dr. Grove, all important information. We have about a minute left. Let's talk about symptoms. Let's talk about things to watch for and how to contact health professionals if you have them, and testing. Let's talk about that as well. Tests, there are more and more of them, and it is expanding, isn't it?
Well, we're getting broad scale testing out there. The difficulty is that's really what we need, because there's a lot of talk you hear about, you know, personal protective equipment and trying to use that PPE wisely. One of the difficulties is if someone comes into my office and they need to be tested, I have to fully gown, glove, face mask, face shield up in order to do their testing. And that was basically a waste of PPE on one test. And so it does make more sense to have these drive-through tests where you just have healthcare practitioners changing gloves, but they get to keep the rest of the stuff on. It's a more efficient use of the material. So hopefully we'll get more and more testing. That will also allow for better tracking of cases, tracking of contacts, and then doing our best to kind of quarantine those individuals who may have had higher contact levels. As far as symptoms go, the main symptoms we're looking at are fever, cough, and shortness of breath. But what coronavirus is showing us is that it can look all kinds of different ways. We have some people who test positive who simply had runny nose and sore throat and felt just kind of achy. A lot of people will have gastrointestinal symptoms. There are even mild cases that are only showing up as loss of smell and taste. And so I think the best directive I can give is, if you feel in any way off, assume that you have coronavirus rather than figuring, I'm just fine. Contact your healthcare professional. They don't want you to just show up at their office or the urgent care. Call them first. Let them give you some advice as to how to proceed.
Dr. Brandon Grove, Monarch Healthcare Physician in Anaheim Hills, thank you so much for your time with us.
I'm sure we'll talk soon. Take care, Larry.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Moreno.